mystery of heaven. A focus we have tried to sustain during the retreat is the necessity of divine grace in this life to reach our eternal destiny. That destiny is heaven. In theological language, we distinguish between divine grace, which is the means of reaching heaven, and divine glory, which is the destiny toward which we are going. Grace on earth, glory in heaven. Grace in time, glory in eternity. There are certain titles that divine revelation gives us, synonyms you might call it, for heaven. They are standard in Catholic theology. They are reward, beatific vision, beatitude, eternal life, kingdom, and home. And over the years, in giving this meditation, I follow the same basic sequence. But over the years, insights the Lord has given me that I want to share with you. Heaven is a mystery, meaning that we can never, not only in time, but even in eternity, comprehend its full meaning. And one of the meanings that Christ gives to heaven, to give us some understanding of the destiny that awaits us, is reward. In one parable after another, Christ tells us about workers in the vineyard. An owner going out and leaving his employees with a certain amount of money, which we've come to call talents. Here, therefore, is the wages that we are to earn. Now, the language is not too strong. Heaven is the wages we are to earn after a lifetime of labor in the vineyard of the Lord. Implied, of course, in the idea of wages or reward is that there is work that has been done, and then that's why the word reward, although it is correct, is not really sharp enough to bring out the real meaning. Heaven is not a mere bonus, something extra. No, no. Heaven is to be earned. Our faith tells us that those who, having been baptized and received the indwelling Spirit, and as a consequence, sanctifying grace, that every good work that a person performs, every act of charity, patience, humility, whatever we do, which is pleasing to God, and we're in the state of grace, merits, and the word merit has the same root in the language from which the Latin is derived. Working and being paid. Merit is payment. Merit is derived originally from the same linguistic root that merchandise is derived from, that merchant is derived from, that market is derived from. In other words, those who are the seed of God's friendship and do His will, they are earning sanctifying grace. Combine those two. A person with a free will in the state of grace earns. And the earning keeps accumulating. Some earn more, others earn less. That's why the joys of heaven will not be the same for any two people. Secondly, heaven is vision, and we append the adjective beatific. In other words, here on earth, we live by faith. We accept on God's word what He revealed, and we say it is true because God, who cannot deceive or be deceived, tells us it's true. It must be. But we do not see. In heaven we shall see. When we say we shall see, there is much more here than on earth meets the eye. We shall see God. I need it to repeat the verb see is not much help. Because, well, there are levels and levels of seeing. The closest approximation to what his vision of God means in the heaven for which we are destined is the knowledge that we have of ourselves. In other words, the closest analogy to the seeing of God face to face in heaven is the knowledge we have of ourselves. No one, but no one except of course God, knows us as well, as deeply, as clearly as we know ourselves. Even years living with another person, we can never come to know anyone else as well as we know ourselves. The analogy, the revealed analogy for our seeing God face to face is the knowledge we have of our own being and activity. Not only will we see God face to face, and of course the vocabulary had better be explained. On earth, not only do we know God only by faith, cares about God. Indeed, even to know ourselves, as well as we know ourselves, even our self-knowledge must be mediated through ideas. Even when we see that we know ourselves, as well we may, even that self-knowledge is still mediated knowledge through the idea that we have about ourselves. But, clearly, God knows himself with no intermediary ideas about himself. And that, if you please, is the church's defined teaching of how we will see God without even the mediation of ideas about God. As far as it is possible for a creature to know God without becoming divine, we will see God. And in knowing him, of course, we will know according to the measure of the merit we will have gained by the time our souls leave our bodies, we will know as much about God. He will share as much in the knowledge of God as of himself and everything that he knows as we have deserved by the time we leave time and enter eternity. Third, what is heaven? Heaven is the cessation of all suffering and pain. Here's what St. John says in his Apocalypse, chapter 21. The first four verses of the chapter. It is well to know, by the way, that the Apocalypse of John was revealed to John by Christ. In other words, there are, we may say, two levels of revelation that Christ made to the world. One during his visible stay on earth, and another that he mystically made and specifically to the beloved apostle, John. Says John, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold the dwelling of God with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." How we need this inspiration. Heaven is a place. It will become a place, as you may safely say, for us, after the last day, when Christ meant in revealing this to his beloved disciples. You haven't had any worth. Dare we say, may we say, that the visible universe, and not just the earth, has this particular planet. Dare we say that the visible universe will not be annihilated? Yes. Dare we say that there will be, as we can logically include, there must be visible objects to see, audible objects to hear, tangible objects to touch, shall I say palatable objects to taste. In other words, it is not only the lawsuit that pain will be no more, but that our bodies, after the last day, will be penetrated with pleasure. My favorite distinction between two kinds of happiness. Happiness in the body and happiness in the soul. Happiness in the body I like to call pleasure. Happiness in the soul I like to call joy. It is therefore not only as the pain in the body or the suffering in spirit will be no more, but both body and spirit will be penetrated with pleasure in the body and joy in the soul that we now can only believe in. But let me say it again. And I know what I'm talking about. The nearest foretaste of heaven, the nearest approximation to the beatitude that awaits us in eternity, is the joy we experience already on earth in doing the will of God. Number four. Heaven means beatitude. We distinguish theologically between happiness in general and perfect happiness. We identify perfect happiness with beatitude. And that is why the correct translation of what we call the eight Beatitudes is to say, for each of the Beatitudes, blessed are they who, blessed are they who. Because beatitude is perfect happiness conferred by God alone. It is not only that we shall be happy, we shall be perfectly happy, And that perfect happiness is conferred by God. Believers, what a statement. The perfectly happy being. I keep coming back to the same theme. Here on earth, we all want to be happy. Well, let's make sure that we're not beguiled by the world in which we live. We are to have a foretaste of happiness here on earth. What is the condition for a foretaste of happiness? The condition is pleasing God. Memorize the next sentence. Pleasing God guarantees God pleasing us. Pleasing God guarantees pleasing us. He will please us. He will satisfy us. And the measure of our pleasing Him. Remember, we define pain as whatever is contrary to the created will. Well, then happiness is the opposite. Happiness is whatever satisfies the created will. We change my vocabulary. Created happiness, it will feel satisfied, the created will. Let's be sure we are not anxious. Make sure we are patient. Pardon the vocabulary. Payday is coming. And God will keep us going by providing us with a foretaste of the happiness we're going to enjoy. But here on earth, hear it. Here on earth, happiness must, and that verb is revealed, happiness must be combined with pain. Must. And as we know, the most painful experience on earth is to deny our own self-will. But heaven is happiness with no admixture of pain, because then the petition of the Lord's Prayer will have been perfectly fulfilled. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're praying for in heaven. Everyone hear it. Everyone is selfless. Everyone wants what God wants. As long as there's a breath of life left in my body, I will keep telling people there's only one sure joy in heaven or on earth. And that is, in knowing God's will, deciding to do it, and then doing it. My prayer for you, and my Mass tomorrow will be for you and your families, especially your mothers and the mothers of your children. And I can make an intention besides offering the Mass for you people, that God may enable you, first by seeing with your mind, and then by opening your wheels to His will, so that you will spend the rest of your days on earth as the happiest days you've ever experienced. And my friends, we must pay the price. In heaven, there will be no jealousy. Nobody will hold on to what they have and not want to share. In heaven, there will be no envy. The sadness that people feel because someone has what they lack. And even the fact that other people hear it, will have a higher measure of happiness, and say we, and we can safely say this, there'll be somebody, or surely somebody in heaven, will have a higher degree of beatitude than we. A safe statement. So far from envying, one of the sources of heavenly happiness is the joy we'll experience in seeing others have, but maybe we don't have as much of. And let's repeat it. This happiness in heaven will be not only in the soul, but also in the body. Remember when I entered the novitiate, and we were 8 days in what we call obstinacy. Then, if our cassock was on the bed on the morning of the 8th of September, that meant we were admitted to the novitiate. Didn't find a black pass cassock on the bed, we had to report back to the novice master, had to get our fare back home. When I found that black object on my bed, I picked it up and I kissed it, and I've been kissing my cassock ever since. But the novice who was giving us some of the lowdown on the novitiate, he had his cassock on, and he took it off to show how you put your cassock on. I'll never forget his pants. He had two patches on his knees. I didn't know what that meant. I soon learned. You wear out the knees on your pants by kneeling. To serve God in this world, you've got to use our bodies to practice charity. You've got to use our bodies. For example, when we feel like growling, we smile. All of this will be rewarded in heaven. The pain we've endured, the suffering we've experienced, the voluntary muscles we've used here on earth. Some people don't know that the lips are voluntary muscles. keep silence. The face, voluntary muscles. Oh, how voluntary those muscles are. Now tell the sisters who wear a habit, a long habit, they see nothing but their face. Sisters, that's all I need to know what you're thinking. And women especially can be most revealing in their face. In fact, the eyes are enough. All of this, they'll be perfectly happy. Our bodies will be rewarded. They go on. What is happening? The single most frequently used term in this picture of heaven is eternal life. We know what to live in general means. To live is to act on one's own. To live is to think with our minds. It means to love with our hearts. But, and we need this, you need it, I need it. You don't have to be mathematicians to know that no matter what number you place in a fraction whose denominator is infinite, it is as nothing. 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, 500 years, or Methuselah, 900+ years, as nothing compared to the endless duration of heaven. We believe it. And the more demanding God's will is in our lives, the more we've got to keep telling ourselves, don't be stupid. No matter what you have to suffer in this life, or how much you have to labor here, it is only for the time. We are entering eternity. If I didn't believe this, having lived and tried to remain as faithful as I could with God's grace, I would have long ago, have been mentally institutionalized. If I did not believe that an eternity awaits me, for the struggle and the effort and the pain and the endurance and the rejection and remaining faithful to Jesus requires here in this life. Christ, Lord, favorite word for heaven is King. Sometimes the expression Kingdom of Heaven, the terms are combined. Sometimes the Kingdom of God, or very often simply Kingdom. And by the way, the word is kingdom. It is not reign. Do you hear me? It is kingdom. The reign of God. My honor. The kingdom of God. Revealed term, basileia, that we used before, the same word that the Holy Spirit uses in describing the church as a kingdom and heaven as a kingdom. Heaven is not a place of solitude. Heaven is not an island. Heaven is not a desert. Heaven is a society. And behind that revealed term, kingdom, is hidden all that we know, all that we know. Society can provide us, as we casually call ourselves, social beings. But hear it. Heaven is to be earned. And we earn to enter that society in eternity. Depending on how well we have lived in the society in which we are now living on earth. The price of entering heaven as a society is living according to God's will in the human society in which we are now placed by God. And every virtue that we know is demanded of those who want to remain faithful to Christ in living as believing, supernatural, social beings. The patience, the forbearance, the thoughtfulness, the endurance. God has put quite a variety of human beings into our lives. And they're all different. And our most difficult practice of that love, without which no one will reach heaven, is to sacrifice our own individuality, our own personality, our own preference, our own personal, I won't even say selfish, desire. People make demands on us just because they are different. On earth, living with so many different, what shall we call them, characters. On earth, the cost that this requires in living with so many different, eccentric, odd, strange, unpredictable, and you watch your vocabulary, personalities. That's the cost we've got to pay here to enter the heavenly society in eternity. Where the differences among the saints in heaven will no longer, thank God, be a burden on our own self-will. You might read or even reread some of the writings of Teresa of Avila. Beautiful. She talks about life in this world as, well, on the way to your home. And God made sure, He made sure there would be enough unpalatable, distasteful, unpleasant, unsatisfied, disappointing things in this life. That's why, God, do you know that God has a profound reason for disappointing us? Or the people on whom we've defended will fail us? He has one thought in mind. He wants to gradually, and what babes we can be, He wants to wean us from creatures and tell us, as only those who have had, thank God, if the world has disappointed you, thank God. Because then you will blink, where have I been all these years? What a fool. I'm on my way. It's a journey. Call it a pilgrimage. The church's official language is to say that we on earth are wayfarers. We are on the way. And we are all going home. The safest statement I can make in this retreat is that if the Jesuit retreat house still exists in the year 2091, none of us will be on earth. Our one desire should be that we will all reach home. Heaven is the goal of our existence. Heaven is the destiny for which we were made. Heaven is the end of all life. Heaven is the purpose of all the effort we make. Heaven is the reason we were created. Dear Lord, we believe you have made us for yourself. We believe we're only on our way to you. But, dear Savior, the road is often rough, and the opposition we meet can be severe. You know better than we do how weak we are. Sustain us, dear Jesus, by the reality that we are made to be perfectly happy, and we shall be on one condition. Whatever you want us to do, we will do. And in doing, we'll have a foretaste of that heavenly happiness that awaits us. Amen. Son